Roanoke dashed to the fourth and final one. She bowled into it with a deep growl. A ferret's head appeared over the cliff top as the boulder rolled forward. He gave a wail of dismay and flung himself into space. The devastation caused by the four boulders was considerable. They tore huge chunks out of the cliff face as they bounced downwards, and several creatures tangled in the ropes attached to the boulders were given a fast, harsh sleigh ride on the backs down the steep slope. The less fortunate were crushed in the path of the great stones, or caught by them as they bounced and thudded towards the shore. Badrang had pulled a score of archers back. They knelt on the beach, directing a volley of shafts upwards. Cries from the cliff top told the tyrant that his strategy was being rewarded. As Roanoke harnessed herself into the cart shafts, an arrow buried itself in the wood by her paw.
Time we weren't here, Feldo. Can you and Balor get the slow and wounded in the cart double quick, please?
It was but the work of a moment. The cart trundled off at a fast lick, propelled by Roanoke and every able-bodied creature.
"Cease fire! Hold those bowstrings!"
Bluehide was the last to hear. He could not stop his arrow twanging off over the cliff top, nor could he avoid the swift kick from Badrang that sent him sprawling.
"What's the matter, Clothiers? Can't you tell there's no beast up there any more?"
The tyrant sighed heavily and sat on one of the boulders.
"Hisk! Fleabane! Count 'em up! How many did we lose?"
15 in all, sire. About that many injured, too."
"We got 8 of theirs, though, and some more up on top must have been slain by arrows."
8 of theirs? You mean 8 of ours? They were my slaves. The only one of theirs was the mole. I got him, though I never got him good enough to finish him off."
The horde members sat about in silence, awaiting their leader's mood, which could range from indifference to foul bad temper. Badrang watched them licking their wounds and retrieving their weapons. Then he summoned Hisk.
"Take 10. Make sure you've got a couple of good trackers. I want you to find where they've gone. When you do, report back to me at Marshank. Don't try to fight or even show yourselves. Just come straight back to me with the information. Have you got that?"
Hisk saluted with a spear.
"Yes, Lord. I'll do exactly as you say."
"Good. When they are least expecting it, we will come in full force and ambush them. They are not soldiers or warriors, merely escaped slaves and some ragtag actors who have been lucky so far."
Captain Salmon Clog sat back in Badrang's chair, enjoying the comfort of the longhouse. He drank damson wine and picked his teeth with the bones of a herring he had eaten. His clogs clacked noisily as he swung his legs onto the tabletop and gave Crosstooth a huge wink.
"That's what you need to outsail your enemies. Brains."
The fox shook his head admiringly.
"And you've certainly got 'em, Captain. You fooled old Badrang."
Clog's huge stomach shook with merriment.
"I'll help ye to find the slaves, says I. You go that way, and I'll go this way. Aye, and this is the way I goes, straight round the back of the fortress, over the wall, with me bold crew, and captures Marshank for meself. Ha 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 ha! Is the gate locked, matey?"
Crosstooth poured himself a beaker of wine.
"Locked, barred, and bolted tight, Captain. The crew is on the walls, well fed, and armed to the fangs."
Clog lost the fishbone in his stomach plats, and forgot it.
"All waiting for poor Uncle Badrang to come visiting, with his tail atwixt his legs and a flea in his ear. Ha 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 ha!"
Chapter 27.
Wacker, chieftain of the Gore tribe, was a savage fighter, swift too, though not as swift as Martin the Warrior. The young mouse saw the squiddle hurtling through the air at him and danced nimbly to one side. Wacker hit the ground on all fours, wailing fast. He was up and into Martin, setting his claws tight into Martin's sides, his sharp teeth seeking his opponent's throat as the bushy tail pushed itself stiflingly over the mouse's face. Martin bit into the tail hard, throwing himself backwards and shooting all four paws straight up. Wacker gave a shriek of pain and sailed over Martin's head, straight into a bunch of squirrels. Martin was up immediately. Joining both paws tight like a club, he swung out, knowing what the squirrels would do. They heaved their leader bodily back at the young mouse, hoping to crush him. Whop! Martin's tight-joined paws cannoned straight into Wacker's nose. The squirrel sat down, licking away blood and seeing stars. His head cleared, and he rushed Martin. This time he fainted slightly. As Martin leapt aside, Wacker went the same way and caught him. locking his legs round the mouse's waist. The squirrel chieftain clung like a limpet, scratching wildly at Martin's face. The young mouse winced as the foe beast's claws scored his cheeks deeply, trying to find his eyes. Martin threw himself forward, hitting the ground with Whacker beneath him. The breath was knocked from the squirrel in one gasp. Punishing him with another hard double paw blow to the nose, Martin was first up. With both paws held tight to his damaged nose, Whacker staggered up. Martin grabbed him, spun him around, and leapt onto the squirrel's shoulders, clamping his foot paws round Whacker's neck. Martin grasped both the squirrel's ears as tight as he could and pulled upwards. The squirrel screamed in agony, jumping from side to side and trying to dislodge his tormentor. But Martin hung grimly on, jaw muscles rigid as he pulled the ears tighter and locked his legs harder. Whacker bucked and leaped all around the ring formed by his bunch as Martin rode him, pulling savagely until the tendons stood out on his paws. Half-strangled and with his ears near pulled out by the roots, Whacker went down like a stone, dust rising around as both creatures hit the earth. Martin jumped free. Placing his footpaw on Whacker's head, he ground down hard, forcing the squirrel's injured nose into the dirt. The chieftain of the Gore tribe struggled feebly, sobbing for breath as Martin's paw stamped down harder. The young mouse was breathing hard as he rasped out the question.
Have you had enough, squirrel? Because if you haven't, we can carry on till the death.
Enough!
Rose ran out, grasping Martin's paw. She cried piteously.
He's had enough. Don't kill him, Martin.
The sound of Rose's voice brought Martin back to reality. Veils of red mist fell from his eyes, and the warrior's desire to kill left him. He allowed her to lead him back to his friends, and Grum set about bathing his deep-scored face. The Gore tribe had gone unusually silent. They broke the circle, leaving their beaten chieftain deserted in the dust. The squirrels dispersed into the ferns and lupins, where they immediately began howling with laughter and playing again, some of them sitting on others' shoulders and pulling their ears as Martin had done to Whacker. Palham shook his head gravely.
Listen to that! What a bunch of savages!
Rose applied strips of dock leaf to Martin's wounded face.
There, that's the best I can do for now. Let's get away from this place. I hate it, and those horrible wild squirrels too.
The tall lupins and ferns provided some coolness against the heat of the day as they made their way to the mountain slope. It was Palham who spotted the cave. High up above them on the dusty dun-coloured mountain face it stood, like a single eye on some great beast. Martin shook his head.
I doubt if we'll reach it by nightfall.
Rose was all concerned for him.
Never mind if we don't. We can camp on the mountainside until morning and reach it tomorrow. There's no great rush, Martin. Take it slower. You must be tired after battling that big squirrel.
Martin touched his stinging cheeks.
Don't worry about me, Rose. I can walk as fast as any beast.
The mouse maid put on a stern face. Stumping ahead, she imitated the warden's stick-like gait as she mimicked the grey heron.
I say you will walk slower. I am the law.
They fell about laughing and sat in the ferns, while Grum unpacked some of his invention cakes and a drink of water for each of them. Martin accidentally dozed off as Palham was singing a little ditty.
Oh, the hedgehog is a fine old beast, all covered o'er with needles. Not smooth, oh no, like some I know, eels and fish and beetles. Some creatures call us hedge pigs, and others say hedge dogs. But I do know that frogs is frogs, and hedgehogs is hedgehogs.
Rose held a paw to her lips.
Hush now, let him sleep a while. He'll feel better for it.
It was getting towards late afternoon when Martin was wakened by the sound of Gore tribe squirrels hooting and hallooing close by. He rubbed his eyes and noted the position of the sun in the sky.
Oh no! Have I been dozing the day away? We'll never make it to the cave tonight now.
Rose gave him water to drink and redressed his face wounds.
Come on then, Grumpy. Perhaps you'll be happier on the move.
Shadows were lengthening as they emerged from the ferns onto the screen rocks of the actual mountain face. Again, they found their way barred by large numbers of the Gore tribe. Palham's bristles rose aggressively.
Not you lot again. What do you want now?
In the absence of the deposed chieftain, they seemed to have several leaders.
Wanna play?
One squirrel called out. Rose eyed them frostily.
Well, we're not stopping you. Play as much as you like.
No, we want you to play.
Martin drew his sword and took a pace towards them.
And supposing we don't want to play?
Then the Gore tribe kill you.
It was then that Martin noticed many of the squirrels were holding axes made from a piece of shale tied in the notch of a heavy stick. He held up a paw.
Wait, while I ask my friends.
The four travellers went into a huddle, as Martin explained.
We'd last as long as a butterfly in a snowstorm trying to fight our way past that mob. I think we're going to have to play whatever stupid game they've thought up.
He could see that Rose was afraid, but she nodded.
Whatever you say, Martin, we're with you.
Burr, aye. If it is the only way out in here, then so be it.
You lead on, Martin. We trust you.
Martin smiled and patted Palom carefully. Turning to face the waiting Gore tribe, he addressed them.
All right. We'll play your game. What do we have to do?
Hey, you run,
and we chase you. That sounds like fun. Which way do we run?
Up the mountain.
Good. That was the way we were travelling, up the mountain. What happens next?
When we catch you, we throw you off.
Hatred for the Gore tribe coursed through Martin's veins. He gripped his sword tighter, but continued to smile as he spoke.
I don't think we're going to like this game. My friends and I could be killed.
Mass laughter greeted Martin's statement, many voices calling out from the bunch in imitation of him.
We could be killed!
What a nasty game!
Martin waited until the noise had subsided.
Fair enough, we'll play, but the Gore tribe are squirrels. Very strong, fleet of paw, very, very fast.
Cheers arose from the squirrels. They obviously enjoyed flattery. Martin grinned cheerily, waving his paws for silence.
We are slow and weary. The game would not be much fun if you did not give us a start. Then, it would be a really good game.
Some of the squirrels started to chant.
Really good game! Really good game! Really good game!
Martin pointed to a high ledge protruding some distance above them.
Let us climb to that ledge before you start chasing us. When we reach the ledge, I will shout, Gore tribe! That is your signal.
Gore tribe! Gore tribe! Go tribe!
Yes, yes, yes!
They took up his cry.
Yes, yes, yes!
Rose was trembling slightly as the horde of wild squirrels leaped and danced in front of them, waving their stone axes and chanting fanatically. Grum gazed up at the high ledge through the digging paws that were covering his eyes.
Oh, I bait a beast as likes I place his herdoser.
Holding his sword at the ready, Martin took Rose's paw.
Palom, Grum! Stay close and tread carefully. Come on, if we can make it up to that cave, I think we'll have a good chance of holding them off.
Martin led the way. It was a tense situation. Howling squirrels waved axes in their faces, grinning unpleasantly. Martin bared his teeth and growled if any tried to paw them or come too close. Step by step, the four friends made their way through the mad throng. Martin brandishing his sword, Grum wagging his ladle warningly, Palom extending his spikes, and Rose swinging a food pack in a businesslike manner. It seemed like hours, though it was only moments before they were clear. Walking with deliberate slowness, Martin spoke quietly to Palom, who was bringing up the rear.
Palom, take a slow glance behind and see if they've made any move to follow us yet. Do it casually.
As Palom turned his head, the Gore tribe stopped chanting.
They're standing stock still, the whole crowd of them, not making a move or a sound, just watching us.